Hello, everyone, and welcome to Nerdy Boys Reviews. We're your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And this week, in a very special secondary episode, we will talk to you about Luke Cage, the Netflix series, and the Marvel Comics character. And, you know, if you haven't watched the series, you should go do that, because we'll spoil the entire thing for you right now. Explicit content warning. Scott's good at this one. We'll be cussing and using excessive language, so if you don't like that, or you know people who don't like that, then you should fucking jog on, mate.
Sick, dude. Yeah, intros aren't that easy, are they, you little shit?
Well, I mean, we used to alternate. You do one, I do one. And I was like, you can just do them all because, you know, you enjoy it so much.
I do enjoy it.
I mean, I haven't done an intro in like at least 8 months, so.
Sick.
How'd I do, boss?
You did pretty darn decent.
You done good, donkey.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway.
So, like Christian said, we will be covering Luke Cage. Came out about a month ago. A month and a half.
September 30th.
Yes. Yeah, about
4 weeks.
Yes. 4 weeks. We thought we'd give everybody a little bit of time before we go ahead and talk about it, you know. So.
Yeah, so.
Let's get into a little bit of comic book history.
Why don't you go ahead and read that for
I will. So, comic book history on Luke Cage. Luke Cage is also known as Power Man, real name Carl Lucas, is a fictional superhero appearing in American comic book published by Marvel Comics. Luke Cage first appeared in Luke Cage, Hero for Hire number 1 in June 1972. It was created by Archie Goodwin, John Romita, and Senior, and George Tuska. Created during the height of the what the fuck?
Blaxploitation.
Blaxploitation genre. Luke Cage is an ex-convict imprisoned for crime he did not commit, who gained the power of superhuman strength and unbreakable skin after being subjected to an involuntary experiment. Once freed, Cage becomes a hero for hire and teams up with a fellow superhero Iron Fist as part of the duo Power Man and Iron Fist. He later marries the superpowered private investigator Jessica Jones, with whom he has a daughter. In 2005, writer Brian Michael Bendis added Luke Cage to the lineup of the New Avengers and has since appeared in various Avengers titles and became the leader of the group of reformed supervillains called the Thunderbolts.
The Thunderbolts, yes.
Yes.
So, yeah, if you guys didn't know any of that, thanks to Scott, because now you know it.
Yeah, we just think, you know, it's important to know some of the history before we just, you know, go into the series.
Yeah, definitely. So let's also discuss the origin. This is going to help us, you know, compare and contrast with what the show did, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, born Carl Lucas and raised in New York City's Harlem neighborhood, he spends his youth in a gang called the Rivals with his friend Willis Stryker. He fights the rival gang, the Diablos, and commits petty crimes, often on the behalf of deformed mobster Sonny Hammer Caputo, in and out of juvenile homes. Throughout his teens, Lucas dreams of becoming a major New York racketeer until he finally realizes how his actions are hurting his family. He seeks to better himself as an adult by finding legitimate employment. Meanwhile, Stryker rises through the ranks of crime, but the two men remain friends. When Stryker's activities anger the Magia crime syndicate, he is badly beaten in a mob hit, saved only by Lucas's intervention. When Stryker's girlfriend, Reva Connors, breaks up with him, In fear of his violent work, she seeks solace with Lucas. Stryker is convinced that Lucas is responsible for the breakup, so he plants heroin in Lucas's apartment and tips off the police. Lucas is arrested and sent to prison, where contact with his friends is sparse due to the resentment of his brother James Jr., who intercepts Lucas's letters to their father James and eventually leads each to believe the other is dead. Lucas is consumed by rage over Stryker's betrayal and his father's supposed death, engaging in frequent brawls and escape attempts. Eventually transferred to Seagate Prison off the coast of Georgia, he becomes the favorite target of racist corrections officer Albert Billy Rob Rackham, whose sadistic brutality ultimately leads to a demotion that he blames on Lucas. Research scientist Dr. Noah Burstein recruits Lucas as a volunteer for the cellular regeneration experiment based on a variant of the super soldier process he had previously used to empower Warhawk. Burstein immerses Lucas in an electrical field conducted by an organic chemical compound. When he leaves Lucas unattended, Rackham alters the experiment's controls, hoping to maim or kill Lucas. Lucas's superhuman strength and treatment is accelerated past its intended limits, inducing body-wide enhancements that give him superhuman strength and durability. He uses his power to escape Seagate and makes his way back to New York, where a chance encounter with criminals inspires him to use his new powers for profit. Adopting the alias Luke Cage and donning a distinctive costume, he launches a career as a hero for hire, helping anyone who can meet his price. He soon establishes an office above Times Square's Gem Theater, where he befriends film student D.W. Griffith. Burstein, aware of his friend's innocence, also relocates to New York and opens a medical clinic, assisted by Dr. Claire Temple, whom Luke Cage begins dating. Although Cage is content to battle strictly conventional criminals, he soon learns that New York is hardly the place to do so. Stryker himself has become a Magia agent known as Diamondback and dies battling Cage. Subsequent opponents included Gideon Mace, an embittered veteran seeking to a U.S. takeover, Chemistro or Curtis Carr, whose alchemy gun is a weapon later used by others, including his brother Curtis, and Discus, Stiletto, Shades, and Comanche, all criminals with ties to Cage's prison days, who face him repeatedly over the years.
Yeah.
Sound pretty familiar? A lot of it?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it coincides with what the show set out to do. I mean, minor differences, you know, he didn't grow up in Harlem in this show. He grew up in, like, Georgia, I think. Or no, wait, I don't know where.
He grew up somewhere else.
Yeah.
I don't.
It wasn't in Harlem, though.
It's close to Georgia, though.
He was actually a cop when he grew up. This part is, like, kind of confusing because, like, he wasn't in gangs when he was growing up.
Yeah, but he did do petty crimes or whatever with Stryker.
Yeah.
But they weren't brothers, which in the show they are. Diamondback never had anything to do with Reva.
Yeah.
Where, like, that was, like, the whole motivation to frame Carl Lucas in the first place in the comics. But in the TV show, he framed him because he was jealous that, you know, Carl Lucas was the son of, like, they had the same dad, but Carl Lucas was acknowledged as his son and Diamondback was on the outs.
Correct.
Pretty much. Comanche, Shades, they're both in prison with him. They're beating his ass. Rackham was the racist officer. Yep. Burstein was the scientist doctor guy. He didn't give him the super soldier serum, which is, like, kind of what happened in the comic books. It's, like, kind of trying to reproduce the Captain America project. But, they changed it for this, and I think it worked out pretty well. Minor adaptions, but good ones at the same time. And it was pretty similar. So why don't you just read, like, what the show's synopsis is for the Netflix series.
Given superhuman strength and durability by a sabotage experience, a wrongly accused man escapes prison to become a superhero for hire. What the fuck?
He is not for hire in this show. He continuously says it. But that kind of leads us into our Easter eggs, because that's one of them on here. We do get his classic TR and wristbands and OG costume.
That was pretty awesome. Yeah, when he broke out from
and you
kind of
see, like, how ridiculous he looks, but it's pretty great.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, that look was all, like, in the confines of, like, when he was, like,
in the,
you know,
70s.
Yeah, in, like, the 70s and stuff. 70s. Like, that stuff made sense back then, you know?
Yeah.
But his clothes are always being destroyed, which is totally true.
Yes. He gets the Power Man name. Pops is the one who gives it to him in the show. But,
yes.
The Power Man shout out is really the Easter egg here.
Yeah, there's a ton of Hero for Hire references.
We get Misty Knight, of course. She was her arm got injured, so I mean that's kind of like a reference, like she might get a bionic arm eventually, like she has in the comics, which is made by Stark Tech. Danny Rand is Iron Fist. He's gonna be the next series, obviously, and she had a relationship with him in the comics.
Dang, She's just going from guy to guy.
Yeah, we already mentioned Burstein, Comanche, and Shades. So.
Yep. Maria Dillard, definitely different from the comic book version, but.
Yeah. I mean, there are some similarities, but like pretty much almost like 95% different than the comic book character. The costume at the end that Diamondback was wearing is reminiscent of the comic book costume he wears.
Yep.
That's pretty much the only thing we got there.
Yep. This one, Reva being killed by Jessica Jones.
Yeah, it's just a reference to other Marvel properties. Like, what Marvel property would be complete without references to other Marvel properties, right?
Yeah.
We do get Claire Temple Night Nurse reference when she's like helping Candace and Harlem's Paradise, and the guy's like, "Get the Night Nurse over here," or something.
Yeah.
So,
we have Colleen Wing flyers. Yeah. Throughout.
Oh, it's just at the end.
No, it showed in the beginning too.
Well, at the end of the series, like we saw Claire grabbing a tab for like Taekwondo or martial arts lessons from Colleen Wing, who will be in Iron Fist, of course. You guys don't know who Colleen Wing is.
Yep.
So we had Trish Walker on the radio. Trish Talk again.
Just talking about the whole situation in Harlem.
Yep.
Turk is back. That guy's hilarious. Because like in this show, like he seems like he's just like this like hitman for hire kind of thing that can get shit done and whatnot. And he's like a badass like player kind of guy, and like, but we all know he's not. Like, he got, like, wrecked in, like, Daredevil.
Yeah, if you guys don't remember who he is, go back and watch Daredevil and see the black guy he punches all the time.
Yeah, dude, that's who that is. And
We got more references to, like, the New York incident with the Chitauri invasion. And, like, I thought the guy, like, on the street corner, like, selling, like, the bootleg videos and stuff was pretty cool, like, pretty funny. Yeah. So.
We have, you know, the classic Luke Cage ripping off car doors and using them as shields.
Yep.
I mean, that's classic Luke Cage right there.
And it's also a reference to when Jessica Jones did it in her series and Captain America did it in the first Captain America movie.
Yeah.
Hammer Tech is brought up continuously. Yep. Hammer, Justin Hammer, obviously, if you guys don't know who he is, he was in Iron Man 2. He, you know, made all those robot, like the Iron Man robot army, whatever, that they had to fight at the end with Whiplash. Last time we saw him, he was in prison, like making fun of Mandarin, who was in there.
Yeah.
But like that was like,
now Hammer Tech is like the one that created the bullet for Luke Cage. He created the
Judas or whatever.
The Judas bullets. He also created the Diamondback suit at the end.
Yeah.
Those all came from Hammer Tech. So very important to realize that. Oh, am I doing the next one too?
Yeah.
Oh, it's because you want to talk about that.
No,
one.
I didn't. No, I did a Hammer Tech.
Oh, did you? Oh, the music. Oh, Dapper Dan and Method Man were in this too. Method Man was like hilarious though. Yeah. I was like, oh, I was like, when I seen him, I was like, I wonder if Christian knows who that is.
I didn't know it until he was on Sway.
Yeah.
And then Stan Lee, of course, was in it.
Where was he? I did not see.
He went into one of the convenience stores. Like he like walked in, and I don't remember exactly what he was, but I remember he was in it. I just don't remember.
Maybe
exactly
we'll have to go back and watch and talk about that.
Yeah. I mean, there were plenty more Easter eggs. These were just some of them. Plenty of references to other properties and other comic book related things going on. There were also like references to like Quentin Tarantino movies and the like. You know.
Yeah.
So, but. Yeah, so the music played a very important role in the series.
Yeah, of course.
Each episode was named after a popular song, I think like having Method Man in there, like on Sway, like made it feel like super like realistic as a show.
Yeah,
like, more so than it already was.
Yeah, you know? Like it was an actual thing happening out in Harlem and stuff like that. So it was pretty badass.
Yeah.
So here is the biggest question I have.
Okay.
In this Netflix universe, who is the bigger player, Luke Cage or Daredevil? I mean, it's beyond, they both get it on, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
But who is you know, who gets more?
I mean, we know they're gonna team up. I mean, we got a whole bunch of Matt Murdock references at the end of this.
Are they gonna team up series on Night Nurse?
Oh, hopefully. I mean, we already know, like, dude, Claire is just going show to show making out with people, man.
I know, right?
What's happening?
Dude, that freaking, like, sex scene with like Luke Cage and Misty Knight.
That was spicy.
Dude, she is fucking sexy, dude. Yeah. I was like,
I thought Misty Knight was like spot on comic book. We saw like her iconic look at the very end of the series.
Oh,
when she went
yeah.
in Harlem. Harlem's Paradise or whatever it is. Yeah. Yeah, she looked like straight on like the comic book character. That was awesome.
So, all right. I mean, were you... How do you feel about Luke Cage as a series?
I thoroughly enjoyed the series.
So you weren't let down at all?
No, I don't think so.
You know, it was like the wait was worth the hype. I mean, the hype was worth the wait or whatever. However you want to say it. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't anything overwhelmingly good, but it was like it had everything you'd want plus some. You know, like
yeah.
It was both culturally relevant, I think. You know, like relevant to the times we're in, I think they did a good job of incorporating that kind of stuff
yeah.
as well, without going too overboard. They yep. did try to do some kind of like political correctness stuff. Like the cop who beat up on the black kid was a black cop. Like if it was a white cop, there might be some real outrage about that.
Yeah.
Which there already was like there was a lot of bad media surrounding Luke Cage because uh-huh. of it highlighting the, like, you know, oppression of black people or underprivileged black people, and the cops were kind of depicted in some instances as scum or, you know, yeah. traitors or like assholes or whatever.
Yeah, 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 no doubt.
So, but yeah, and the action was great. There was, I mean, plenty of violence. Like, they're not going to let you down on that part of it, you know?
Yeah, plenty of humor.
Yeah, plenty of humor. Overall, the series was just, I think it was done very well. It came together very well. I guess, I don't know. What did you think of, like, the final fight between Luke Cage and Diamondback? Do you think it was underwhelming or?
I mean, the way they set it up, you know, made sense. But I felt overall it was pretty underwhelming, to be honest with you. Like, it wasn't as good as it could have been. But, you know, based on, like, the flashbacks of them, you know, when they were younger and the yeah. boxing thing, you knew where they were going with it and stuff. And, like, almost kind of like an homage to like Muhammad Ali, really, and like his fighting style and stuff of like wearing his opponents down by letting them exert energy
yeah.
and stuff, and then coming back with, like, you know, just, you know, tearing them up and stuff afterwards. I felt like that was kind of like a nod to Muhammad Ali, you know, with him
yeah.
passing this year and stuff. I mean, I definitely feel like there had to be something there for that. I mean, they don't have to incorporate, but, like, you know, just how that is, I feel like it was definitely like a nod to him in their own sort of way.
Yeah.
But like I said, you know, it made sense based off of like how they set it up,
mm-hmm.
but it was underwhelming for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I think one of my favorite things about the show is they don't put too fine of a point, in my opinion. Some people probably disagree, but I don't think they put too fine of a point on it that Luke Cage is a black superhero. Like,
yeah.
Like, to me, like, it's not even like secondary or tertiary. Like, it's not something I'm sitting here thinking like, wow, this guy is a black guy and he's kicking ass. Like, I really didn't, like, you know, it's not like something that's on the top of my mind. I'm just like, dude, like, he's just a person. He's a great hero. Like, he's doing great things. He's just trying to live his life and do what he needs to do to get by and not let injustices come up. And I thought that was, like, one of the best things about this show as well.
Yeah, no, I would totally have to agree, because it would have been very easy for them to, like, sit there and, like, overplay, like, you know, like, you know, the race card or whatever with, like, you know, well, you know, I'm just, you know, a black man trying to do this or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and, like, they didn't overplay it, and they just let it organically grow. And it's because it's, like, think about it, you know, it's, like, you're going into Harlem. You're not going to see a bunch of white people walking around in Harlem.
Right.
I mean, not to, you know, I'm not being like racist or whatever, but it's, you know, it's not even like predominantly. It is like an all black community.
Yeah,
it's just the way it is.
Harlem is like a breeding ground of black culture and black history, black art,
yeah,
everything.
Exactly.
Like, and that's like what's so great about Harlem. It represents so much of not only black history, but American history. And just like some of the greatest artists and musicians and just, you know, people,
dude,
in the world.
How intense was that scene? Like, I think it was like in the first or second episode where he was like, they're talking about like when the guy tried to come up from behind him and stuff.
Yeah.
And then like, he's like giving like that crazy speech. You know, I was like, what the fuck, dude? Like, he's like, you're going to do this here right now.
Yeah, in front
the street
of Crispus,
like,
Attucks, who's like a great, figure in American history.
Yeah, dude, I was like, oh my god, dude, it was so intense, dude. I was like, oh my god.
Yeah, like when he's like, he said like he said something to him, and he called him the N-word, and he turned around, and he's like, is that what I am to you, a nigga? And he's like, you a dead, you know, and he's like, but, like, he that was, like, one of the coolest things about Luke Cage, too, is, like, he hates the use of that word, too. Like, yeah. He's very, like, I don't know, dude, like, to me, this series is, like, very emotional, you know?
Yeah,
like
I loved this series throughout. I thought it was awesome. That was great. There was just so many different mixtures of different genres within, you know, the series. Comedy, yeah. Violence, sex, you know, gangs, and this shit was crazy, dude. Yeah. Like, you know, and they didn't overdo, like, Luke Cage's, like, destructions of property and stuff like that. They had, like, the perfect balance of it all, and you know, and it's just, it was great, dude. I right. really, really loved this series.
Yep. Yeah. I think everything they did with it was, in my opinion, very good. Yeah. And it, I think it exceeded my expectations.
Yeah, me too.
But like I said, it wasn't anything overwhelming where it's like, I'm going to go, like, write a 10-page paper about how amazing it was and how symbolic it was and all this stuff.
I think it would be easy to accomplish that, though.
It would. And I think there will be people who do, you know, like people who, like, there are so many people already, like, because there's been some backlash from critics or that, like, about, you know, it's feeding the fire for, you know, the disparity between African Americans and the police in our country and stuff. But it really doesn't. Like, I don't think at any point cops were profiling in this show. Like, yeah. They were looking for Luke Cage. That was it. Like, they're just looking for Luke Cage, you know? Yep. Like, they weren't stopping random black people, like, on the streets or whatever. And, like, the only time they did was when it pertained to Luke Cage.
Exactly.
Because, you know, he protects them, you know? And that's kind of how it is. So, I don't know. I don't think it's doing anything to fuel that. Like, obviously, there were police, like, doing things they shouldn't have been doing wrongs, but that doesn't mean that this show is a representation of police in our world. You know, like, yeah. We can't get those things mixed up. It can be a commentary on things that are happening in our world, but it's not a representation of what is happening on a day-to-day basis.
I would have to agree with that statement. So what else do we have?
I mean, there's not a whole lot to really talk about. I mean, the series, like, really is the story of Luke Cage finding himself, becoming the hero, and eventually, I guess, becoming a hero for hire later on. Like, yeah. Not in this series, he's not a hero for hire. But it seems like where we are now, he's going back to Seagate. But the guy he was working with at Pop Shop found his record to get him clean, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
He'll probably get off, and, you know, we know Matt Murdock is getting called. Yeah. We know this. So we know we're building for the Defenders. So
it's the build up.
I'm excited for where we're going from here, but I think that this series was great.
Yeah, me too. I thought it was just so epic and so great.
Yeah, and it's I can't even say it's better or worse than, like, Jessica Jones or Daredevil, because they're so different in, like, their styles.
They're vastly different, and it's very hard to compare one another.
Yeah, I like what they're doing, though, because, like, Daredevil is one thing, Jessica Jones is another thing, Luke Cage is another thing, and we know Iron Fist is going to be something all of it in itself, too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think Iron Fist will be closest to a combination of Jessica Jones and Daredevil.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're going to get, like, the kind of conspiracy, kind of, like, mystery going on with the death of his parents and things like that.
Yeah.
But we're also going to get him kicking ass.
Yeah, it's
so,
going to be pretty epic glowy fist action.
Yes, yes. But back to Luke Cage, I mean, I think the portrayal of the character was great. Mike Coulter did an amazing job.
Yeah, dude, he was phenomenal.
And the story was great. Cottonmouth, you know, was like the classic, we think he's going to be the main villain, but then Diamondback comes out of the cuts. And you know,
boom.
Mariah
What'd you think
Dillard
about
was
Shades.
Shades was, like, cool in some respects, but then, like, just there in other respects.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, he is the mastermind kind of behind Mariah Dillard, but yeah. Like, at the same time, it's her spinning the stories. You know.
Yeah.
She's just scum. Yeah. So.
So, what would you grade Luke Cage?
On a scale of 10, right?
Yeah.
I give it like a 9.2.
I'd give it like a 9.5.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so great. you know, just everything we've said already. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, I mean, obviously there were like slow moments, but there are always going to be slow moments in a series with 13 episodes.
Yeah, I mean, essentially you just watched, you know, just like all the other Netflix series and stuff. You're watching a 13-hour movie.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like it's there's a lot that goes there.
Yeah, so. I feel like they just built the story very well. It was slow to get off. Like the first episode was pretty slow, to be honest with you. But
yeah.
Once it got off, it kept going and. Luke Cage is just destroying shit and beating the shit out of people and saving the people of Harlem. And
yep.
Like he's just trying to do what's right, and that's all you can ask. So
yeah. No, I agree.
Do you have anything else to add? Like
no.
Any favorite moments or...
I think just the sex scenes, really. And then like my hope that there would be like a three-way coffee scene, you know? Between Misty Knight, Claire Temple, and Luke. But right. That didn't happen. And then but I thought we were going to get Claire Temple and Luke, and it didn't happen. I was so annoyed. I was like, that's bullshit.
And like their funny coffee references.
I was like,
he's like, I hear Cuban blends are pretty feisty or something.
He's like, yeah, like spicy and robust.
Yeah,
I was
robust.
Like, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to get to see her naked.
And she was like, you're corny. But it's true. And then she was all like being trying to be sexy and shit.
Yeah, I wouldn't pull out with her, that's for sure.
All right then. Good to know.
Good to know.
But yeah, are we gonna see Rosario Dawson in Iron Fist, do you think?
Probably.
Colleen Wing is gonna be there and she's gonna need her karate lessons from Colleen Wing, so.
So yeah, more than likely, yes.
But yeah, not really much else to say on Luke Cage. If you guys haven't checked it out, if you have any questions, if there's anything we didn't touch on, send them our way on Twitter, or you can go to our website, www.nerdyboysreviews.com, Twitter at nerdyboysreview, Instagram, you can follow us, we post pictures occasionally, Facebook, we post links to all our shit on there, you know?
Yeah.
But Twitter is like where we mostly keep up, you know?
Yeah.
And our website, buy lists every week if you guys want to know what comic books I'm buying. I'll be doing some reviews later on, like full series, like Clone Conspiracy and then Death of X and whatever when those series are concluded. I'll be writing about those probably.
For so, show.
But yeah, if you guys have questions, anything we didn't touch on, why do we think this was good? Why? What do we have anything bad to say about it? You know, we'll touch on all that. Yeah. Summed up.
In case you guys didn't catch our other podcast that we're going to be publishing this weekend, make sure you guys go check it out. It has to do with, you know, all the nerd news and all our weekly shows, Gotham, Arrow, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, Supergirl, Lucifer, did I miss one? Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That should be it, yeah.
That one.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a couple trailers we talked about, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, make sure that you guys are checking up and staying current on all of our episodes. You guys find the podcast on podbean.com and iTunes. Make sure that you're rating us, subscribing us, leaving us some feedback because it always helps us improve. And share us with your friends and families, dogs and cats alike. It doesn't matter. Let everyone know.
Yeah, but don't send your dogs our way, please.
Yeah, don't. No, we have enough problems with that. Yeah. So I think that's all we got for you guys on our Luke Cage podcast. Like Christian said, if you guys want us to dive more into it, you guys can always let us know. Make sure you guys just send specifics. Other than that, that's all we got. And I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
Here at NBR, we only got one simple message for you, and that's
stay nerdy, boys.